Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Morris White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's an honor. It's an honor to host another Sunday Night Live show. I appreciate all of the InfoWars audience. I see your feedback from being on the show. People say, oh, host every Sunday. Every Sunday I can. Every Sunday the great Alex Jones allows me to. Yeah, nobody can do it the way Alex Jones does it. But I sure am honored to give it a shot. And these are the kind of things that we should look for. Like, name another United States Senate candidate that would be caught dead hosting 2 hours on InfoWars. They're not going to do it. And that tells you everything you need to know about them. Oh, Alex Jones, he's too controversial. Oh, Alex Jones, InfoWars. Oh, too much conspiracy. We know the people who are telling the truth, who are even perusing, even scratching the surface of the truth. We know the people who are willing to ask the tough questions and investigate the tough issues. We know the people who are willing to propose the tough answers for tough questions that the American citizens are interested in. I mean, truly interested in. Alex Jones has been fighting for 25, 30 years just to move the needle slightly enough for a guy like President Trump to even have a chance by saying the most common sense things. And for that, we owe him a great, great debt. A debt I can't pay back by doing 2 hours on InfoWars from now until the day I die. The debt is unquantifiable. It really is. I really see it that way. I don't know how everybody else sees it, but I see it that way, honestly. Honestly. We all owe Alex Jones a great debt. He pushed the conversation by himself to a place, a corner of the ring that many were unwilling to go so that a guy like President Trump even stood a chance in this nation's darkest hour. And we actually won. We actually won the narrative. Was the final tally of the votes accurate? Probably not. Probably not. Some votes seem that they went missing there from 2020 to 2024. And I said it after 2024, they let him win. They let President Trump win. They didn't want to spoil the last bit of integrity that the institutions had left. So they let him win. They knew the entire world was watching. They read the tea leaves. They knew that President Trump had won the narrative, that the MAGA and America First movement had won the narrative. Basic questions, common sense questions like, why are we sending billions of dollars to Ukraine when we don't even have clean drinking water in Flint, Michigan? They knew that the narrative was too strong, was too palpable to pull the same cheating move they pulled in 2020. They let him win. And the first order of business is, how do we get another Senate majority leader like Mitch McConnell who can slow walk President Trump's second term? Slow walk the agenda in President Trump's second term. I know. We'll get institutionalist from South Dakota, John Thune. Can we bring up a picture of John Thune, please, there in the studio? Give me a picture, John. We got a minute before the break here. We have a second hour. I'm guest hosting. We're going to get a picture of John Thune up here because it's just apropos to what I'm saying. There's like an archetype in the Republican Party. Obviously, I'm not it. I mean, you look at me. Do I look like a politician at all? I certainly don't look like a prototypical Republican. There he is, John Thune. Good middle American white man. He's got all of his hair. He's got a nice strong chin. And he's just courageous enough to knife you in the back as soon as he gets the first opportunity. But bring up Mike Johnson. Bring up Speaker Johnson. Bring that picture back up if you can. Go ahead. Speaker Johnson. There's another one. Good, great Southern draw. Got that legalese lawyer speak. Another good set of hair. Decent looking guy. A little shorter than your average. But still passes the sniff test. And we all say, oh, look at these strong candidates. They're so strong. They're so strong that their back is non-existent. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about the prototype of political puppets in America. Stay tuned.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host for the rest of the hour, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about the prototype of political puppets in America. Bring up the picture, John Thune, again. I can't get enough of it. I just can't. This is why I'm running for United States Senate. Guys like this, Steve Daines. Can we get a picture of Steve Daines up there next? I just want to run down the list of these guys, if we can, and just show you the prototype that they put in front of you. And we all go, oh, what's happened to this country? Oh, this country's in such dire straits. How did it happen? How did the country get so bad? How did the country go off the rails the way it has? This is how. This is how. They tell you these people are strong candidates. They can appeal to the moderates. We have to win elections. The only way to change the country is to win. Well, you could, in fact, win against all odds like we did in 2024, then go max, do away with the pleasantries, and just have some righteous confidence about what needs to happen in this country. We all know what needs to happen. And let's just do it. You don't have to worry about public approval. Steve Daines, when you guys get a chance there in the studio, give me a picture of Steve Daines of Montana. The NRSC, again, you guys got to understand how politics really works. The NRSC is made up of U.S. Senate. There he is, running dog of Mitch McConnell, Steve Daines. As the great Steve Bannon said, Steve Daines is Mitch McConnell's B-I-T-C-H. And I like that kind of talk. That's the kind of talk we'll be bringing to the United States Senate, the most deliberative body in the world. It's deliberative. It's deliberative, all right. No doubt about it. The United States Senate is the most deliberative body in the world. It is deliberately selling you out. They're very deliberate in their policy. They're very deliberate in their governance. They're very deliberate in their role as puppets. They know exactly what they're doing. It's, you know, if I put on a suit and a tie, I can convince the average American citizen that I'm competent, that I'm educated, and I'm competent. And I know what's best for the American people. I will do what's in the best interest of the American people. Steve Daines, John Thune, Tim Scott again. Tim, I don't like Tim Scott. I'm just going to tell you guys. I'm going to say it honest. I don't like any of I can only name a handful of United States senators, even on the Republican side, that I have any taste for whatsoever. Any taste. Only a handful. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, decent. I like him. You know, see some votes and some things, and I scratch my head still. Tuberville, like him. Senator Rand Paul, sometimes, for sure, sometimes. But I also think he's got a little personal beef with President Trump as well. And that goes all the way back to, you know, Rand running in 2016 and President Trump and him having, you know, words and whatnot. And, you know, it just, it's all sort of, it's all real prissy to me. You know, a lot, some of it gets prissy. Some of it's just straight puppetry. And then you got the prissy part. Then you got the gossip and like the in crowd. And there's all these little factions. And it's just, you know, there's so much going on in American politics. Aren't you guys ready just to have a guy in the U.S. Senate that says, here's what it is. Here are the balls and strikes. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. But that only works if the people in their respective state will vote them out. I was reading a poll the other day that said something like 67% of American citizens are happy with the job that their local Congress member is doing, whether they're in their congressional district or their senator. That, you know, an overwhelming majority of American citizens feel happy with the person they voted for from their state. Their person from their state's doing a good job. It's like an iteration of professional sports. It's like, well, you know, this is my team, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they're stinking it up this year, but that's my team. It's like, excuse me? No, they're terrible. The truth is the truth. The Minnesota Vikings are stinking it up this year. And all of us Minnesota Vikings fans hate to see it, and we hate to say it, but it is what it is. It's the same for a lot of you for the respective Congress member that you voted for, Republican or not. Stinking it up. Stinking it up in the U.S. Senate right now. Stinking the whole place to hell. There they are. These are Republican senators right here. I think these are your Republican senators, if I'm not mistaken. And there are a few in there. These are your Republican Congress members. There are a few in there. Don't get me wrong. You know, love me some Lauren Boebert. Love Anna Paula Luna. Eli Crane's a good one. You know, I like Eli Crane. There's some people in there I'm going to miss, you know, that I'm missing. There's some good ones in there. Don't get me wrong. There are. Marsha Blackburn is another one who, you know, she'll put it on the line. She'll say it like it is sometimes. But you just get the feeling that by and large, there's something happening in the Congress and in the Senate that's intended to look away, but it's something else. You know, we all get that sense as the American people, and we feel unempowered to really do anything about it because once we vote these people into office, we've chosen for them to represent us and for them to act in our interests. And if they fail because of incompetence or circumstance or whatever the case may be, it's kind of like, well, they tried. You know, they're doing the best they can. Politics is complicated. It ain't that complicated, ladies and gentlemen. America first, America first, America first. Americans come first. It ain't that complicated. It really isn't. Long. It's time to put America first. That's all. It's not complicated. We're not going to send another penny to the Ukraine. We better not send another, I don't even want to send another bullet. I'm not even into this whole, well, we can sell them arms, you know, we'll sell them weapons. All business is good business. All money ain't good money. Where I'm from in the neighborhood, we say all money ain't good money. All business ain't good business. And it ain't good business for us to be sending any more bullets over there to Ukraine. Ukraine's got to determine Ukraine's future. Ukraine's got to determine the destiny of Ukraine. Europe has to determine the destiny of Europe. They have 500 million citizens in Europe. Come on together and do what you got to do. You want to fight a knockdown, drag-out war with the Russians? You do it. Don't be calling us. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to be involved in the bloodlands there. We don't want to be in a war in the bloodlands. We want no part of it. At least the America First and MAGA movement, well, much of the MAGA movement, some of the MAGA movement still gum dipped in boomer, you know, boomer powder, baby boomer powder, gum dipped in baby boomer powder. A lot of even in the MAGA movement. Well, y'all, you know, that we are potent. excuse me. The British Empire has been fighting a war with the Russian Empire since the early 1800s. This is a blood feud between two neighboring people that has nothing to do with the vital interest of America or the American people. Europe is Europe, and we have to, it's even like the strange romanticism we have with the royal family. Every time there's some huge event with the royal family and American media is like, you know, teary-eyed, I just ask myself, what is going on here? This is so strange. It's like, you know, God bless the queen. God save the king. Who's king? Who's king or queen are you talking about? I don't know who you're referring to. I only know one king. Christ is king. Christ, Jesus Christ is king. I love when the Boston Celtics head coach, Joe Mazzulla, was asked about the royal family attending the Boston Celtics games. And there's that, you know, that great clip. And he's in the press conference after, and he goes, who, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Would Jesus, Mary, and Joseph showed up to the game tonight? You know, I you can't see the media because the camera's on him, but I can just imagine if you swung those cameras around, about half of the room would be smiling because they get the, you know, they get the humor in it, but the other half of the crowd, the media would be scowling at their rejection of Christianity. And the proposition that an NBA basketball coach of all people would profess his faith, his submission, his loyalty to his Christian faith or to our Christian Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only king. What do I care about the royal family? Even that is a part of this Atlanticist propaganda. It's like when I hear people say the Commonwealth or even the West. You'll hear a lot of these conservative thought leaders like, what's the guy's name? He had the debate with Dave Smith. I'm forgetting his name. You guys know him. He's a very British guy. He's very British, very articulate, you know, very sharp, very British. And I hear people talk. You know, they create this political conversation that talks about the West. It's like, even with Islam, it's like Islam is incompatible with the West. I don't care if Islam, the Europeans have to decide whether or not they're going to let Islam overrun their continent or their countries. And, you know, we wish them well, of course. We wish them Godspeed in their fight to stop the rise of Islam on their shores and in their countries, for sure. We're not saying that we wish them, a negative outcome, because we don't. We don't wish bad upon our Western brothers and sisters, but we certainly aren't going to go into the abyss with them. We're certainly not going to let the Yuval Noah Hararis pull us into the abyss based on our Western or Commonwealth identity. Oh, no. We will not be going with you. You want to give your countries to Muhammad? Then you do that. But we won't be doing it here in America, and we're trying our damnedest not to do it here in Minneapolis, Mogadishu, the belly of the beast. And I tell all the Somali citizens that I meet, all the Somali residents I meet here in the state of Minnesota on the campaign trail, hey, you want to assimilate? You believe in this country and our foundational values? You believe in citizenship? You believe in free speech? By all means, you're here legally, you can stay. Ain't going to be no Sharia law here in Minnesota or America or anywhere else in this country. Not doing Sharia law. That's just it. Simple. It's not difficult. Not complicated. Not hard for me to say. I'm running for United States Senate here in the state of Minnesota. We have 100,000 plus Somalis. Would I gladly take their vote if they believe in this country? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I can convert some Muslims. As a Christian, you have to believe that you can convert some Muslims. I certainly can convert some immigrants from another country on why America's foundational values are good, useful. I certainly can do that. I have to believe that as well. I have to believe I can take the Bible and the Constitution and convert me some people, some non-believers. And I don't fear that. I don't fear walking into a room and telling a bunch of Somali Muslims, hey, you better get on board with America's foundational values. You better understand them. You better be trying to assimilate and really buy into the American dream, or go on ahead back to Somalia. Like I said on the show last time, the answer to Somalia isn't in Minneapolis, it's in Somalia. And a lot of Somali citizens love their heritage and their culture much deeper than we do here in America. We're willing to give our culture away to invading forces. The Somali people take their culture with them wherever they go. They're not willing to give it up so easy. And that says something about the affection they have toward their country, toward their homeland, toward their history and their people. And I respect that. You want to keep your language? You want to keep your clothing and your regalia? You want to keep your food and your customs? I respect that. How about we make Somalia a place that you want to live? It's the same thing I tell black people. Why is it that all these black people get a little bit of money and the first thing they do is move away from other black people? I'll tell you why. Because it's dangerous in the black community. Real dangerous. Instead of asking white people to give us everything, how about we make, instead of asking white people to let us live where they live, how about we make the black community a place where other people would want to live? How about we make the black community a place where black people want to live? Not where they have to live or need to live or they can only afford to live. I mean where they really would want to live. Like if they could choose to live anywhere in the world, and I could go to Abu Dhabi or the United Arab Emirates, so I could go to Saudi Arabia and let the prince poo-poo on me for a few 15,000 pounds and whatnot. Okay, I could do that, or I could go live on the south side of Minneapolis. I'd like to live on the south side of Minneapolis, but you have to build, and you just can't do that when you spend $6 trillion in Afghanistan teaching the little Afghani girls about birth control and the liberation of the women's workforce. It just doesn't work. The single mothers, the single black mothers in the black communities all across the country were sold down the river when we spent $6 trillion trying to teach liberation philosophy to the Afghan women. And I'll tell you why it was a scam. Not only did we not have any business doing it in the first place, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Just didn't work. The Afghan people chose the Taliban when push came to shove. And people argue with that and say, well, they did it out of fear. Well, that's an indictment of them, sorry to say. Because I guarantee you the day when the communists really get enough balls to go full-blown totalitarianism in the streets, and I mean they almost got there during COVID, they were right up on the edge, weren't they? The communists were right up on the edge of going full-blown totalitarianism. They said, if you're unvaccinated, we're going to lock you in your home. Ooh. I triple dog dare you. You thought you had a problem with insurgency. You thought that you had a problem with insurgency in the Middle East? You thought you had a problem with insurgency there in Iraq? You go on ahead and you try and lock us in our homes if we don't want to take experimental vaccines, and you're going to have a problem with insurgency right here in America. Because that's what our founding fathers demanded. That's what our founding fathers designed. And for some reason, you know, they always hit you with the three-card Monty. Oh, don't be calling for violence. The call for violence is to demand that we go into our homes or be locked in our homes if we don't take a vaccine. I didn't take a COVID vaccine. As a matter of fact, here's a new litmus test for the United States Senate. Let's just ask which candidates were vaccinated and which ones weren't. There's a great starting point. And I say that, obviously, I got President Trump's cereal box here. And I believe that President Trump took the vaccine. And I disagree with that. But that's his personal choice. And I disagree with with a lot of things regarding vaccines. And I'm not saying that to to be dissenting or undermine the president. No, I'm just a blue-blooded American, and I think what I think. I am who I am. Not taking a COVID vaccine, not then, not now, not ever. You could hit me with the homosexual monkeypox, and people could be running around with huge biblical lesions on their face, and I'm still not taking the vaccine. Sorry. Ain't gonna happen. Captain. Ain't gonna happen. You could unleash as many pandemic viruses as you want in this country. I'm still not taking that vaccine. But I do think we should be asking our candidate, hey, were you vaccinated? Did you take the COVID vaccine? But it's hard for us to do that because so many people, even in the Republican Party, took the COVID vaccine. Why? A lot of the Republican Party, and I mean the actual party, is in the senior age demographic, and so they were more afraid, and rightfully so, than other demographics of people. So a lot of our elderly people were intimidated into taking a vaccine that, now looking back, didn't need to take. But I do think a lot of people are triple vaxxed. And I don't think that it helped the crisis of common sense that we already had in this country. If there's a place where the nanotechnology of the experimental vaccine is working, it's probably on the frontal lobe. We're all talking about the sterilization of it. It's like, oh, you're finding the residue in the ovaries and in the testicles. It's probably right there in your frontal lobe, breaking that brain barrier and working on your frontal lobe. I don't know. Because people seem dumber than they've ever been. Yeah, we're waking up slowly. I mean, but we're like two generations behind. Alex Jones has been saying this stuff for 30 years. We're just finally warming up to it. But we still vote for John Thune. You tell me what's going on. I don't know. You tell me. Maybe it's the aliens. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. You got me for another 30 minutes here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars, The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue, that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us. But really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalist. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com nitric boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones live, the Alex Jones Show live on Sunday night, InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm running for United States Senate. Tina Smith has a seat that she has resigned from, won't be running for re-election in 2026. If you get the chance, go to my website, RoyceWhite.us, which I barely pitch. I don't do a good job. Alex Jones is the greatest at pitching the site and the store and the websites and the whole nine. I'm an amateur. If InfoWars was under my stewardship, it wouldn't have survived because I always forget the important information, you know, monologuing and whatnot. But RoyceWhite.us, my U.S. Senate site. Make sure that you go and find out about the caucuses in Minnesota if you get the chance. Visit the store. We got some pretty decent merchandise. On the Jesus is King is the one piece of merchandise that I'll promote and encourage people. Get your Jesus is King t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, whatever the case may be, coffee mugs and whatnot. And I'm running for United States Senate for one reason. Because the United States Senate is the place where legislation gets passed. It is the conduit to legislative progress, for lack of a better term, legislative mission in this country. And we have got to get a hold of the United States Senate. Now, people ask me all the time, What are you going to do? You're going to be one man out of 100. Well, I think that, listen, I don't want to be, you know, doom and gloom here. There are a handful of United States senators that I have some respect for. There are. We can change American politics if we show up. If we resign from the process, if we abnegate our responsibility or role in the process, we might as well stop complaining. Just go live your life, have fun, find a beautiful corner of the country and find something you like, hopefully somebody you like, your family, and you live out the rest of your days hoping that the worst doesn't come to pass. That's one option. That's one way to go about it. And I fear a lot of our Christian Americans, our Christian brothers and sisters in America have selected that option. So, you know, I get it. I get it if that's the route you want to go. I really do. Or you can show up and be involved in the process. Be involved in the process. Politics is done by the people who show up. That's why I'm showing up to run for United States Senate. Do I think that I can change 100 sellout United States senators? No, I'm not going to be able to change them. Money is one of the greatest motivators of all time. I'm not going to be able to change them. I can speak the truth, though. I can do that, and I do that pretty well. I will stand up in the United States Senate and say, here are the issues. Here is the truth. These are the balls and strikes. I can do that for you. I can look you, the American people, in the face and say, here are the people that you need to vote out in your state. And for some reason, we still view U.S. Senate state races as state races and not national races. A vote in the U.S. Senate is a vote for the American people writ large. It's not a vote for the people from your state. Can't tell you how many people I meet in Minnesota and go, well, what are you going to do for Minnesota? What am I going to do for Minnesota? The entire country is on the brink of destruction. What am I going to do for America? That is the question. And will Minnesota, get benefit from the overall rise or direction, positive direction of the country? That's the way we have to look at these races, these Senate races. Hell, that's the way you have to look at your Congress races, your House races. Now, the House has a much bigger body, so, you know, different. One person in the House, but man, one United States Senate. And let me say this as well, because this idea has been floated. And I think there's some people working on this. And I would love to collaborate with you. If you get a hold of me, I'm willing to work with you. You don't have to get a majority in the Senate. You just have to get the margin of swing for a majority to have control or a fair bit of power in the U.S. Senate. Say we have 10 America Firsters, 15, 20. Enough to swing the majority in either direction. That's power. That's power. Not the conventional power, not the power we would like, but we don't deal with things the way that we wish they were. We deal with them the way that they are. Gonna be a while until we get a 60 seat majority for America First in the United States Senate. It's gonna be a while. Gonna be a couple billion dollars before we can get that done. Unless we flood the caucuses in 2026. And we start there. And we primary every United States senator who can't confidently say that they're America First. And maybe we don't win. Maybe the Mitt Romney-esque conservatives prevail. But they will be put on notice. In Minnesota, we've already prevailed against the Mitt Romney-esque Republican establishment. That's why they hate me. That's why you don't see me on Fox News. Truth be told. Oh, Gutfeld and all of them. Oh, they don't like Ultra MAGA Royce White from Minnesota. Oh, they can't stand Royce White from Minnesota. You mean that young 34-year-old black guy who spews all those conspiracy theories about the Jews? You mean that Royce White? Anti-Semite Royce White? I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't have any hatred towards anybody. Don't have any hatred towards the Jews. But I can say there's a Jewish lobby. And the Jewish lobby hasn't sent me one single dollar. And I like it that way. I like it that way. We're going to keep it like that. We're going to keep it right there in the center of the road. Hey, AIPAC, don't send me your money because I'm sending it back. Or hey, if you do send me your money, understand that it will come with no strings that Israel has any preferential treatment if I get to the United States Senate. If you're okay with that, send me all the money you like. Please, I'll take it. As long as there are no strings attached. If there are no strings attached, please send me your money. But you can go check my, I think somebody on Grok just pulled this, asked this question earlier today. Has Royce taken any money from AIPAC or any other PACs? And the answer is no. All my money in my political career has come from individual donors. Go figure. One of the very few United States Senate candidates in the country that was able to win a statewide primary, 34 years old, checks all the boxes, knows the issues backwards and forwards like the back of his own hand, and can command them with the best of anybody in the country, let alone other Senate candidates, doesn't even get invited on Fox News. You think that's by accident? I can't even believe people still watch Fox News, honestly. The great Steve Bannon says at best, Fox News is for stupid people. And it is. You know, they're trying to, you know, reel it in and paint the edges of the plate. Yeah. What else can they do? But we don't forget. We'll never forget who the first people were to call the election in 2020, the rigged election in 2020. We'll never forget. We'll never forget and we'll never forgive. You won't catch me on Fox News. And that's okay. That's completely fine with me. The question is, if we need the Fox Newses of the world to get Republican candidates elected or to get them, you know, raising a good fair amount of money, then that's an indictment of us, the American people, the conservative movement, the Republican Party, Republicans all across this country. If we need Fox News to tell us who our candidates are, we got problems. And oh, was Michelle Tafoya on Gutfeld the other day, Greg Gutfeld the other day? I think I heard that Michelle Tafoya was on Greg Gutfeld the other day. You think that's by accident? Honestly, it's like right up in your face. They put it right up in your face. Oh, Michelle Tafoya is a great candidate. Very good looking, long time in the conservative commentators. Used to play, you know, used to do sideline sports. And she's just lukewarm enough on pro-life. And she's just kind of milquetoast on President Trump. And I bet if we asked her about her Second Amendment views, we would find that she's just as milquetoast there as well. In fact, I saw an infographic from a Minnesota community survey that said 67% of Minnesotans that they surveyed were in favor of banning assault rifles. You understand the problem I have with getting elected here in the state of Minnesota? People always say, you should move to another state. Move to a Republican state. Move to Oklahoma. Move to Texas. Move to North Dakota. Move to, you know, one of these MAGA states. Move to Florida. Run there. You don't abandon your post. You don't abandon your post. You don't abandon your home. Minnesota is my home. The Twin Cities is my home. I was born and raised here. You fight. Because if you don't, if you run, if you flee, you look up and the governor, the communist governor of the state that you fled from ends up being vice president or president. Tim Walz, for example. All my snowbirds that moved there to Florida. No offense to you. I understand. the winters in sunny Florida are much better than Minnesota. I get it. Plus the income tax is a pretty good deal as well. I understand. All I'm saying is, if you flee for the wrong reasons, you look up and the thing comes to bite you in the butt anyway. Imagine moving out of Minnesota to some red state, and then all of a sudden, Tim Walz is a heartbeat away from the presidency. And that's how it happens. So we're holding the line here in Minnesota. I told Mike Lindell, the great Mike Lindell, running for Minnesota governor, we're holding the right in Minnesota. We have to hold the right. We have to hold the Republican Party. We have to build a platform. We have to build a future for this state from the right. And it's not one of, well, did you win the election or not? Here's a good litmus test. If you're a Republican out there, especially in a state like Minnesota, and you believe that our elections are secure, you're not a Republican. Or you're not our kind of Republican. You're not MAGA. You're not America First. You might be a Mitt Romney Republican, but Mitt Romney threw him with the communists. So, I mean, how Republican are you really? In this nation's darkest hour, Mitt Romney threw in with the communists. So the fact that there's even a Mitt Romney, a Romney-esque conservative movement left is embarrassing, to say the very least. It's embarrassing. We're not going anywhere. We're going to hold the right. Got to be involved in the process. 2026 has to be the year. 2024 was the year that people got off of the bench and into the game. 2026 has to be the year that people get precise, laser sharp with their strategic involvement. Understand how the process actually works. Go into caucuses in February. If you're in Minnesota or anywhere else in the country, you have to go into the Republican Party caucuses. The same way Ron Paul brought people into the caucuses when he ran during the Ron Paul movement. Some of the Ron Paul folks have gone a little soft They've forgotten. They've left. They've quit. And I understand why. Some of them because, well, how on earth did we put Mitt Romney up? Come on. Seriously? I get it. I understand that side of it. But some of you weren't really so libertarian to begin with. Let's just be quite honest about it. You know, when I see that 67% of Minnesotans are in favor of banning assault-style rifles, the first thing I think is at least 10% of those people are registered Republicans. And that wouldn't shock me one bit because I spend a lot of time in the Republican Party. And I can't tell you how many Republicans inside the Beltway in the metropolitan area would probably agree with banning assault rifles. We're not banning assault rifles. Are you kidding me? Have you lost your minds? Why? And you got to think, and you know, this is probably the fundamental difference, at least ideologically or theoretically, between Republicans and Democrats, is Democrats believe in the infinite expansion of the federal government, at least in theory. The Republican Party in our message or platform is anchored upon limited and small government, at least in theory. Because it blows my mind that Democrats, who are so afraid of fascism and the rise of a neo-Nazi government, are so afraid that President Trump declares himself king and tramples all over the rights, the human rights, civil rights, God-given rights of the American people. Democrats who are so afraid of that would give up their guns. What kind of sadomasochistic citizenship is that? President Trump is a tyrant. He's going to send ICE to take black people back to Africa. And you know what? I think I'll be giving up my assault rifles today too. Well, that just makes you a coward. That just makes you a coward who likes playing the victim rather than stand up for your freedom. And as far as the record goes, I don't want to be on the record standing side by side with you. When we say power to the people, or we the people, or of the people, for the people, by the people, you and I aren't talking about the same people. Our concept of the people is much different. Our concept of the people are the patriots at Yorktown. Our concept of the people are the patriots that held the bridge at Yorktown. That's our concept of the people. The Democrat concept of the people are something like, I don't know, I don't even know. I don't even know who to point to throughout history. In the Jewish community, in the Jewish tradition or Jewish culture, they have the story of the unleavened bread. You know, the story of Passover, which came to reiteration during the Holocaust, is if you wait until they start asking for your papers, it's already too late. If you wait for the bread to rise, too late. Too late. And there were people who fled, you know, in Nazi Germany. And then there were people who waited too long. And too long became too costly. Who are we? How long are we going to wait? That's the question. And I don't even just mean Republicans and Democrats. I hate that, you know, I had to spend the whole 2 hours kind of dissecting the conversation into the two-party political parties, because like I said in the clip earlier with PBS, there are no more party lines. There are just nationalists and globalists. But how long are we going to wait? And I say that to all of you American citizens out there listening tonight, and I say it to the president and the rest of the administration as well. How long are we going to wait? How long are we going to play nice? How long are we going to pretend like the game is square, like these people have any sacred honor? It's like the comment, if you remember the movie Godfather 3, which some people don't really like the third Godfather. I actually enjoyed it, to be honest. But, you know, Al Pacino's a little older, and he's starting to lose something, the same way that his father, Vito Corleone, had lost in the first movie. He got, you know, as the Turk said, as the Turk Salazzo said, he got soft, he got old. You know, 10 years ago, I could have never have gotten to him, and you know, he's lost something. And, you know, Michael, in his older age, started to lose something as well. Started to lose that sense of danger around the corner. And his young bastard nephew, Vincent, played by Andy Garcia, comes under his wing and adds a little bit of muscle and a little bit of youth and ferociousness, for veracity, back to the equation. And he tells Michael in a meeting in Italy, you know, these people have no honor. You're playing by a set of rules that these people don't adhere to. They have no honor. So they will not hold up their end of the bargain. They will not hold up their end of the deals, any deal. And we kind of find ourselves in that place right now, where it's very hard for me to believe the people who broke this country, the people who brought this nation to her knees, will hold up their end of any deal that's struck. They can shake hands on the deal, but you just know they're crossing their fingers behind their back. And so, as some of our more extreme right-wingers would say, we have to crush our enemies right here and right now. The great part about it is we don't have to go door to door. You know, it's not going to be the night of long knives. No, but institutionally, we have to do away with the pleasantries. We know what the problem is in this country. We have a constitutional crisis in the court. We know what the problem is. Everybody knows what the problem is. The courts are the problem. We all know it. Stop dancing around it. Stop playing footsie. No time for playing footsie. We're burning daylight. The courts are a problem. We have a constitutional crisis. The courts are a problem. We all know what the problem is. The problem is that the conservative movement has made the rule of law the calling card for so long, it's hard to come to grips with the fact that we may have to do something very uncomfortable to break the constitutional crisis and gridlock that stands in between us and a free and prospering America. At bottom, that is the great paradox of American politics. The Republican Party, the conservative movement, charged with the duty of maintaining the freedom that we regard as essential for our republic, has held up the rule of law as gospel for so long. As the lawmakers became less and less righteous, we failed to correct them. We failed to hold them accountable. President Trump and the Trump administration has an opportunity right here, right now, to hold the courts accountable. This is dangerous to even say. See how uncomfortable people feel? I can just hear it out there in the audience. I'm here in the studio alone, but I can feel it out there in the audience. It's like, ooh, what does that mean? Whoa, hold the courts accountable. Whoa, what does that mean? You all know what it means. You know exactly what it means. We all know what it means. It means there's going to be some courts who turn around some planes. They got some illegal aliens, some illegal immigrants on them from Venezuela, some MS-13s on them. There's going to be some judges that do some nonsense like that, and we're going to have to say, you know what, we'll be taking our country back now. No more of the nonsense. And if you want to run to the MSNBCs or the ABCs or the New York Times or the BBCs or the CMCs or the DDGs or whatever other acronym organization, if you want to run to whoever you want to run to and cry, you do it until the cows come home. But we'll be taking our country back now. To hell with the public approval. To hell with it. Thank you for having me, Alex Jones, and the entire InfoWars crew. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, running for United States Senate. Make sure you go into caucuses in Minnesota in February and any other time all across the country. I had a blast tonight. God bless you. Godspeed. God bless America. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the family, and I'll see you next time.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days, the rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. That's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship, but I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at infowarsstore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.